What is the best way to face a lie? If you have been falsely accused about anything, and anybody has said something about you that's not true, what's the best thing to do? We can come to some understanding about this from the standpoint of a Christian when we study what happened to Paul in the book of Acts in chapter 24. Paul had been brought, we will remember, into the courtroom of Felix the governor, and there he had been eloquently accused by Tertullus, a certain orator, who came down there to inform the governor against Paul. And this man had accused Paul falsely. He called Paul a pestilent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, and one who had gone about to profane the temple. These were the serious things that had been said by this eloquent man against Paul. And now I raise the question again. What should you do when somebody lies about you? When somebody falsely accuses you? And we're going to study this with Paul now and see what he did. What does a Christian do when he's confronted with false accusation? Notice now in verse 10, so far as Paul's action is concerned, in chapter 24, verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself. And if you will feel it when you read along in there, you will just, and think about it, you will see he was courteous. He acted toward Felix in a way that would indicate that he certainly didn't hold Felix responsible for being in court. He didn't blame Felix for the fact that he was being asked to account for these things. And you and I would do well in connection with this, just generally for ourselves, to carry this along in our minds. Suppose our work or our witness or our testimony or anything that we do is called in question. And suppose we have to face some kind of an accusation that is unfair and untrue, and we have to face it. Let us keep in mind that the people that we're talking to, the people to whom we give our explanation, had nothing to do with raising the accusation. They had nothing to do with raising the question. In a sense, let's not take it out on them. How shall we act toward them? Courteously. And you will want to notice, so far as Paul is concerned, he's poised in this matter. He doesn't fall down on his knees and beg for any mercy. Nor does he stand up, as it were, and strut himself. He courteously and in almost cordially says to Felix, I'm glad to have a chance to tell you what the situation actually is. And now notice in verses 11 to 13 what he actually presents. Because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. Now you see, that was going to take care of this charge that he was a mover of sedition among the Jews, and that he could find him very much of a pestilent fellow. He had only been in the city 12 days. But to notice how the 12 days is specific, actual fact, that tells its own story. He didn't say, I've been here only a little time. That's so vague. I've been here 12 days. That's precise. Since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city. That's point-blank contradiction. It's a denial of the charges. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. They cannot prove one single thing that they have said. They called me a pestilent fellow. They didn't even find me in the... I wasn't in the temple. I wasn't arguing there with anybody. And I wasn't arousing the people about anything, either in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. In other words, he just in a general way covers the whole thing I would say logically. After all, I've been here only 12 days. It doesn't make sense I can do all the things they've said about me. Factually, they actually bring it right down to it. They can't put their finger on one single instance of anything that I have done contrary to the law. Direct, they accuse me of this. They're wrong. They said I was this. They didn't tell the truth. And blunt, straightforward, no question about it. And by the way, that always makes a difference at a time of controversy and a time of accusation, is a straightforward, honest action on the part of a man who has nothing to hide. And he shows he has nothing to hide by bringing out the facts as they actually are. These things are all very, very important. And he submitted considerations to the court. These considerations were so obvious, but still they were the considerations on the basis of which a sound decision could be made, and that's what he offered to these people. In other words, and now we're going to see in what he said after that, that he took advantage of this situation to give a testimony concerning his faith. And listen to these remarkable words, beginning in verse 14. But this I confess unto thee. There is actually a point in this whole matter, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. That's the real truth of the matter. What they have got against me has to do with our religious faith and the way in which I present it. So worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Here he puts before them, in a very wonderful, comprehensive way, an actual description of the way in which he lived and the way in which he taught. So he just admits, they're opposed to me, and they're against me, and they've got me here in this situation here. Now, the reasons why they brought me here are not what they said, because what they said is simply not true. But I'll admit they had a reason for bringing me here. The reason they've got me here and the reason why they want me removed is because I am presenting a way of living before God that they don't want to hear. They don't want to present this. They call this heresy. I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, they call it error, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Then he went on to say, now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. That's really why I came to this city. I came to do good. Whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, and the purified means according to ritual law, according to the ceremonial law, that's exactly how I came in, neither with multitude nor with tumult. I wasn't there with a crowd. I wasn't there in any confusion. Who ought to have been here before thee and object if they have aught against me. Some of those very people who were at the temple should have been here to say something about it. You will notice the reasonableness of his presentation, the logic of it, the sensibleness of it. And that's what he is basing on. Remember now, what we're actually seeing is, how does a Christian meet a lie? How does a Christian meet a false accusation? By presenting the truth. And when you have a good conscience and you have a good record, you bring the record out. Let the people see it. And what's happening is, actually, you are witnessing to these people and showing them the things of the Lord. So he says, let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And that's a very interesting thing. after he had said, if anybody has objected to the way in which I acted in the temple, they should be here. Anybody thinks I caused a riot back in Jerusalem when I came to visit Jerusalem, those are the people ought to be here and talk. Now, some of these very people that are here right now, if they wanted to, they could admit that when I stood before the council, I gave an adequate answer for everything that I had done, unless it be this one thing, that I raised up the fact that I was a Pharisee. I'm interested in that because it almost suggests to me, now I wouldn't teach it this way exactly, I mean emphatically, but I am inclined to think this seems to indicate the possibility that Paul himself was not, as I say, should say, altogether satisfied with the use he made of his relation with the Pharisees when he was standing before the council. You remember in that chapter 23, when he was standing before the council and arrested and brought before them, that he actually, by aligning himself with the Pharisees, throwing the council into confusion, he managed to escape a sentence against him. And this would seem to indicate that if there was any one thing that could have been complained about, it was this maneuver of his, this tactic of his. Except it be for this one voice, this is the one thing that I said, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And then we read on, and when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred to them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. So, as Paul has come to stand in court and to be lied about, he confronts the lie with the truth. Over against this false accusation, he is able to give a simple, clear presentation of his own testimony. There are many things about this that will impress us all. One of them is that when we are moving around in this world, we ought to be able at all times to account for what we're doing and where we're going and where we are. To have a clear conscience and to have a clear record that we can bring up and show at any time when we're confronted with false accusation. And when the false accusation comes, we should not blame everybody for it, but we should quietly present the truth and push it straight to the people who are to judge us and count that the truth itself will show them the way it is with us. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us and help us to conduct ourselves in a way that will enable us to bear a good witness for Jesus Christ. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.